What if you could manufacture high-value pharmaceuticals and premium food products using the exact same core technology? This week, a fundamental shift in biotechnology is making that a reality. By 2033, a key component of this shift, single-use cell culture bags, is set for massive growth, signaling a new industrial revolution is already underway. The question is, are Western companies prepared for it? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a critical convergence. The technology used to grow cells for regenerative medicine is now being aimed squarely at the food industry. We're seeing Japanese startups aggressively enter the U.S. market, and major European governments are mobilizing national resources to dominate this new field. It's a story about new markets, new competitors, and a fundamental change in how we manufacture some of our most essential products.
Exactly. We're moving from siloed applications in pharma to a unified biomanufacturing platform. This has profound implications for supply chains, capital investment, and competitive strategy for any company in the life sciences, food production, or advanced material sectors.
Troy, let's start with the big picture. An upcoming seminar by the Japan Bio Industry Association seems to be capturing this shift perfectly. What's the core development here?
The JBA seminar, titled The Future of Cell Culture, highlights that the technology is no longer just for niche medical applications. It's now a foundational platform for two massive, previously separate industries, regenerative medicine and cultivated foods, or what most people call lab-grown meat.
So the same basic process for growing replacement skin cells could be used to grow a steak?
Conceptually, yes. The core challenge in both fields is the same: how to grow large quantities of specific functional cells outside the body efficiently and consistently. The seminar is bringing together leaders who are developing advanced 3D culture substrates and scalable systems to solve this exact problem for both applications. It's about cross-pollinating innovations.
Why is this convergence happening right now, and why does it matter globally?
Two drivers. First, the technology, particularly in 3D cell culture, has matured enough to be considered for industrial scale. Second, the market pull from food sustainability and security concerns is immense. This convergence matters because it creates a much larger unified market for enabling technologies, which accelerates innovation and drives down costs for everyone, including pharma.
So how does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers, whether they're in pharma or food processing?
For U.S. and European biopharma manufacturers, it means new competition for talent and resources, but also new potential suppliers of culture media and equipment emerging from the food tech space. For food manufacturers, it's a direct competitive threat and a massive opportunity. They need to understand that biotech startups now see their market as the next frontier. The core competency is shifting from traditional agriculture to sterile cell culture.
What about trading companies and distributors? What's their angle?
This creates a whole new supply chain. Western trading companies should be looking at sourcing opportunities for novel 3D culture substrates, growth media, and single-use bioreactors from innovators in Japan and elsewhere. Distributors need to recognize that their customer base is expanding. A company that supplied labs for cancer research might now find its products are in demand from a cultivated seafood startup.
Okay, so what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
Executives need to break down the internal walls between their life science and food science divisions. They should task a cross-functional team to map the technology landscape of cell culture, not as it applies to one industry, but as a platform. Evaluate your company's core competencies and identify whether you are positioned to be a customer, a supplier, or a direct competitor in this converged bioeconomy.
That makes sense as a big picture trend. Now let's get specific. A Japanese startup called Cell Fiber just launched a new brand, Zato, and they're targeting the U.S. market. Tell us about this.
Cell Fiber is a deep tech company that has commercialized a novel 3D cell culture system. Their Zato technology encapsulates cells within extremely fine, micron-sized fibers. This structure mimics the natural environment of cells in the body, which they call in vivo conditions, leading to much higher viability and functionality during large-scale production.
What problem does that solve?
It directly attacks the biggest bottleneck in both cell therapy and cultivated food, scaling up production without losing quality or breaking the bank. Traditional 2D methods, essentially growing cells on a flat plastic dish, are inefficient and don't scale well. Cell Fiber's fiber-based system allows for continuous large-scale culture, which could dramatically lower production costs.
And they're not just staying in Japan. The announcement on May 26th specifically names the U.S. as a target market. How should U.S. and European manufacturers view this?
As a direct and immediate competitive challenge. For U.S. biopharma, particularly in regenerative medicine, Zyto's system represents a potentially more efficient manufacturing platform they need to evaluate. For nascent European cultivated meat companies, this Japanese technology could become the new standard, meaning they either adopt it or compete against its efficiencies.
And for the supply chain, what should traders and distributors be aware of?
The Zyto system is a piece of capital equipment. Distributors with connections in the U.S. biomanufacturing and research sectors should be contacting CellFiber about partnership opportunities immediately. Trading companies should also be aware of the consumable ecosystem around this. These systems will require specific culture media and reagents, creating new sourcing opportunities.
This also ties into another report we saw on the single-use cell culture bag, which is projected for strong growth through 2033. How does that fit in?
It's the same trend. Systems like Zyto are often designed to work with single-use disposable components. These pre-sterilized bags and containers dramatically reduce contamination risk and the turnaround time between batches. For a U.S. contract manufacturer, using single-use tech means they can switch from making a cell therapy for one client to a cultivated protein for another client with more speed and flexibility. The growth of this market is a direct indicator of the industrialization of cell culture.
So, the actionable insight here?
If you are a U.S. or European executive in biomanufacturing or a related industry, you need to get a sample of the Zyto system or a competing 3D culture technology into your process development labs now. Run a side-by-side comparison against your current methods. The data will tell you if your manufacturing process is about to become obsolete.
Beyond private companies like CellFiber, we're now seeing governments make major strategic moves. Germany just announced it's establishing a national innovation hub for these technologies. What's happening there?
The German government has officially designated precision fermentation and cell-cultured foods as key strategic technologies for a crisis-resilient food system. They are establishing a dedicated innovation hub by 2027 with the explicit goal of achieving global market entry for German-made products by 2028.
Crisis-resilient food system. That's a powerful phrase. So this isn't just about business, it's about national security and supply chain control.
Precisely. This is industrial policy. The hub will act as a central point for R&D, scaling up production, and, critically, streamlining regulatory approvals. Germany is signaling that it intends to be a dominant European player in this space, leveraging its deep strength in engineering and biomanufacturing.
So for a U.S. food manufacturer, what does this mean?
It means that in the near future, you won't just be competing with another food company. You'll be competing with a German national champion, backed by state resources and a coordinated innovation ecosystem. This raises the stakes significantly. European manufacturers outside Germany, say in France or the Netherlands, need to ask what their national strategy is, or they risk being left behind.
And this is where the big service providers come in, right? The Contract Development and Manufacturing Organizations, or CDMOs?
Exactly. A new ranking of the top 20 CDMOs for 2026 was just released, and it's full of the companies that will power this transition. You have global giants like Lonza from Switzerland and Thermo Fisher from the U.S., but also German specialists like Rentschler Biopharma, which excels in complex mammalian cell culture. The German Innovation Hub will almost certainly partner with these domestic and European CDMOs to provide the industrial-scale manufacturing capacity.
So, for trading companies, is the opportunity to work with these CDMOs?
Yes, these CDMOs are the big customers. They buy equipment, single-use bags, culture media, and reagents at a massive scale. For a Western distributor, securing a supply contract with a company like Lonza or Samsung Biologics is a major prize. As Germany builds its hub, identifying and engaging with the CDMOs that will be central to that effort is a key strategic move.
What is the single most important action an executive should consider based on Germany's move?
You need to update your competitive map. Your analysis can no longer be limited to traditional industry players. You must now include state-backed innovation clusters like Germany's. For U.S. companies, this means advocating for similar supportive policies at home. For European companies, it means deciding whether to partner with a German hub or build a competing ecosystem. Ignoring this level of state-backed strategic investment is not an option.
All right, Troy, a lot of interconnected developments this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the bioconvergence is here.
The wall between biotech for medicine and biotech for food has crumbled. Cell culture is now a horizontal technology platform, and innovations in one sector will rapidly impact the other. Companies must adapt their R&D and business development strategies accordingly.
Second,
Asian innovators are not waiting. We see it with Japan's Cell Fiber launching Zyto directly into the U.S. market. Western companies must assume that the next disruptive manufacturing technology could come from a startup in Tokyo or Singapore, not just from Boston or Silicon Valley. Proactive technology scouting is essential.
And the third key takeaway?
National Industrial Strategy is back. Germany's 2027 Innovation Hub is a clear signal that governments see control over biomanufacturing as a strategic imperative for both economic and food security. This raises the competitive bar and means private companies will increasingly be either competing with or partnering with state-backed ecosystems.
So what's the final word? What should executives be doing this week?
Convene a meeting with your heads of strategy, R&D, and supply chain. Ask one question. What is our strategy for the convergence of medical and food-grade biomanufacturing? If you don't have an answer, you are already behind.
A powerful call to action. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
And thanks to all of you for listening to Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an update on the technology shaping your industry, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another strategic briefing.